In today's Mishnah, we're in the fifth and final Mishnah from the fifth Perek of Masechta Sanhedrin and continue learning about capital cases. So the Mishnah says, "Imatzu lo zchut." If they find reason to find this person innocent, then they'd say "Petaruhu." They'd let him go on the day that they concluded so. "Vim lav." If, however, they didn't find a reason to, so they thought that he should be found guilty, we say "Ma'arvino dino lamachar." They would push off the closing of the judgment till the next day, and that's we learned already in the beginning of the Perek. Then what would happen, which we didn't describe yet, is Hayu mezdavgin zugot zugot. The diner would split off into pairs. Matim b'machal, they would reduce the amount they would eat. V'lo yashotim yain kol hayom, they wouldn't drink any wine the whole day. V'nosim v'notnim kol halayla, they would spend the entire night deliberating in their pairs. Ulamacharat, the next day, mashkimim, they would get up early, would bind the beit din, they'd come to beit din. Hamezakeh omer, the person who the day previous said that this person should be innocent, that, meaning the dayan, he would say, ani mezakeh, o mezakeh animim komi. I reasoned that he was innocent, and I'm maintaining my position. Vamechayev, similarly, the mechayev, the person who was finding the person guilty, he says, ani mechayev, yesterday I took that position, and I still hold by my position. They would continue the deliberation. One of the dayanim that was presented arguments to say why this person would be found guilty, he can present the opposite arguments now. However, as we've already explained as well, that aval hamelamed zchut, one who already provided reasons and arguments why he should be found innocent, would not present the opposite. Mishnah continues then, ta'u bedavar, if the dayanim made a mistake or they forgot what they said the previous day, they had the sofrim, they had the scribes. So shnei sofrim mazkirinotam, mazkirim, the scribes would refer to the notes and then remind them. Im matzu lo zchut, if the next day they came to the position where they said that this person is really innocent, then petaru, they let him go. However, im lav, if not, omdim laminyan, they would take account of opinions. It says, "Shnemasar mezachkin, the chadasar mechayavim." If 12 said he's innocent and 11 said he was guilty, we have got a majority of one, and that's sufficient to find him innocent. Therefore, he'd be zakai, meaning innocent. "Shnemasar mechayavim." If 12 of the dayanim, the judges, said he should be guilty and 11 said he should be innocent, we've already explained that that's actually insufficient because you need a majority of two. Or afilo chadasar mezachkin vechadasar mechayavim. Or even if it seems to be even, 11 say he's innocent, 11 say he's guilty. The Vechad Omer, one of the dayanim says, look, I simply don't know any odea. Avafilu, even if it was that a srim ushnayim mezakinu mechayim, even if 22 of the dayanim were all in consensus, that either saying he should be innocent or guilty, and there was one dayan, Vechad Omer, any odea, I simply do not know. In that case, we'd only have a beit din of 22 judges that are ruling, so we don't have a sufficient beit din. So therefore, in all these cases, that I've described, including the one that we said in the beginning, if you recall, that is if there were a majority of only one that said he should be guilty, as we've explained previously, yosifu ha-dayanim, they would add an extra pair of dayanim. And this pattern would continue, meaning if it was still only a majority of one saying guilty, even after they added the two, they would keep on adding. Ad kama mosifim, they keep doing in pairs, shnayim, shnayim, until you get to ad shivim vechad, until you get to the size of the Sanhedrin Gadol, the largest size beit din, which is of 71. If 36 mezakim or 35 mechayavim, if there's a majority of one saying this person is innocent and he's set free, zakai, he can go. However, if there's 36 mechayavim and 35 mezakim, if there's still a majority of one saying this party is guilty, then danin elu keneged elu, then they would have to continue deliberating. They wouldn't be able to leave it there, ad shir echad min ha-mechayivim devrei mezakim, until one of the dayanim that said he's guilty would change sides and now say, actually, I think he's innocent. The truth is, it would also work vice versa, meaning if one of the parties that said he was innocent actually changed his position and said he should be found guilty, that would also work. However, the Tana, the author of the Mishnah, wants to, as is the direction, as we said, we try and lean against the side that this person should be found innocent. Let's now begin the sixth perek. Nigmar hadin, let's say this person's been found guilty, and he was tried of a capital punishment, and the punishment we're dealing with now is that of skila, which is stoning. We'll learn exactly what that involves, despite the fact that the general perception of it is actually quite remote from what skila actually was. But let's continue. Motzino to lesaklo, they would take him out to be stoned. Now, the point is the Beit HaSkila, the place where they would stone, achutz le-Beit Din, they would be at a distance from Beit Din. And that was in order so that there would be a delay between closing the judgment and actually execution, just in case a dayan or somebody worked out another reason why this person should actually be found innocent. As we said, we can undo the ruling in order to save him. But the point is, reason has to be made at a distance because the Torah says it has to be, because it's hotzer et hamekalel. here referring to the mekhalel, the one that was cursing, and it has to be taken out from Beit Din to be executed. Let's continue. Achad omed al petach Beit Din. There'd be a person standing at the entrance to Beit Din. Vahasudarim biado, and he would have sudarim, he would have cloths in his hand that he would be able to wave in order to communicate, as you would see in a moment. Vadam achad rochev asus, and there'd be someone seated on a horse at a distance that could see the dayan or the individual standing at the door of the Beit Din with this garment or this cloth in his hand. But the person riding the horse would rachok imen or kadesh yara'uhu, but it'd be far enough that it'd be at a distance, but close enough that he could still see the signaler. Im omer echad, if someone comes before the Beit Din and says, yesh li l'mod avzchut, I've got new pieces of evidence that can actually prove this guy's innocent, then halam enifatzuru, they would quickly wave this cloth, this garment, v'asus, and the horse would go bolting, ratzum amido, in order to save this individual from being executed. In other words, to bring him back in order to see if there's really reason to find him innocent. I'm not sure if he's actually have to be brought back, but the important is the person on the horse would ensure he wouldn't be executed. But let's continue. It says, Afilu Huomer, even if the person who is about to be executed, he says, Yesh li lelamed alatz mischud, I have another argument I can present to Beit Din that proves I'm innocent. Then, Machzirota, they bring him back to Beit Din, so the Beit Din could hear what he has to say. It says, Afilu arba v'chamisha palmim, this could occur even four or five times. It could be going back and forth, this individual, b'vad sheyesh mamash bidvarav, provided that there's substance in what he has to provide them. The Gemara says the first two times they'd bring him back regardless. It's only if this pattern continued that they would actually check, confirm if yesh mamash bidvarav. The important point was that even the first two times they bring him back, even if they didn't see much substance, because of the fear of the moment that he's about to be killed, he may have not been able to express himself properly, but the journey back to Beit Din, he may have settled and able to remember exactly what that piece of evidence was that he wanted to present. That's why the first two times they bring him back, after that which we only would have to really test him already there at the Beit HaSkila. Matzul HaSchut, if after that, either somebody else presented some evidence or he presented some evidence, and the Beit Din said, actually, yes, we find you should be innocent, then pataruhu, they'll then go. V'im lav, if not, then yotzel lisakel. They would take him out to be stoned. V'charuz yotzel lefanav, and there would be a person going out in front of him and announcing, ish ploni ben ploni, so-and-so yotzel lisakel has been taken out to be stoned. Al why sha'avar aveira ploni, because he committed this particular crime, uploni uploni adav, and the witnesses that witnessed this crime, and he mentions the two names, so and so and so and so. Why is this important? As we've already mentioned, that there's still an opportunity to save this person's life. Firstly, this is a crime he's being accused of. People will hear the circumstance of the crime, who's been accused, and importantly also hear who the witnesses are. And that also offers an opportunity that further witnesses can come along and say that those witnesses actually, Edim Zolim, are actually false witnesses. And therefore the Charuz would, person announcing, would finish by saying, Kol mi she'odeh l'zchut, anyone who knows any bit of evidence that can acquit this individual, Yavo v'elamenev, come now and teach it and come and provide this information in order to save him. And as we already said, that there'll still be an opportunity for his life to be saved despite the fact Beit Din already ruled guilty. Those are Mishnah today.